Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Hi, everybody. Harry Carey here. We've got a great show lined up for you.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
I once took a pair of binoculars and stared at the sun for over an hour.
Why would you do that?
Curiosity, I guess. Heck, I'm curious like a cat. I have a couple of friends that call me Whiskers.
With Andy Dirt Johnson.
Hey, now, kid, we all know that the moon is not made of green cheese.
Yes, that's true, Harry.
But what if it were made of barbecue spare ribs? Would you eat it then?
And Brendan Sprague.
I know I would. Heck, I'd have seconds. And then polish it off with a tall, cool Budweiser.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Hope your days are going great. I have to go home and watch Major League now today.
Yeah, did you know, fun fact about Mr. Baseball, did you know the director of the movie Major League didn't even know that Uecker was a baseball radio broadcaster? He only hired him for the movie because of his Miller Lite ad and because of Mr. Belvedere.
How about that?
By the way, his SNL, I went and looked at the review. All-time, like, awesome that a radio broadcaster got to do SNL.
Yeah.
One of the biggest dud SNLs.
Was it considered? Considered
yeah,
a dud?
Not considered a
good. He's a broadcaster, you know? Sketch comedy's a little, that's a hard hat to put on if you're not.
Nobody's going to be perfect at comedy, no. Especially at that level, but to just say you got to do it is.
You hosted SNL, man. Yeah. Probably in the glory days, too, of the show. Hey, right now, let's get this out of the way so I don't forget, because I usually forget. If you text 503-864-6326, you will be entered for a chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to see the Winterhawks take on Tri-City on Friday, January 24th. What's that, next Friday, right, if I'm not mistaken? And we're going to have tickets to give away tomorrow on the show as well. So just text the word Hawks, H-A-W-K-S, to 503-864-6326. Nice win in a shootout for the Hawks last night. They continue their road trip. They're going to be back in town next week. And if you text Hawks, you'll have a chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to go see them against Tri-City. The Americans are in town Friday, January 24th.
Also, just think about how we know what the media landscape kind of is, right? Like, people can get a general sense by reading, but, like, we're in it. Just think about how rare that this may actually be, that a guy did that for that long with
that
one
long.
Team till that age.
That long. What year was his first year in Milwaukee? Let me see, broadcasting career. Hold on. 1971, he began calling plays for the Milwaukee Brewers radio broadcast.
Well, in that piece, I highlighted that they played this year. And again, I got to find out who did it so I can cite it. He was walking around. And they said, how'd you do it? He was
I think it was the MLB Network.
I think it was, too. And he goes, well, I was actually a pretty bad baseball player. And so they had me do some coach stuff, some managerial type stuff. And then I kind of went into the broadcast booth and it just worked. He just connected instantly and he ended up becoming the voice.
Yeah, but he's one of those, like, he's got a lot of Yogi Berra kind of lines that are just jokey, where he had one where he said, I was once named the minor league baseball player of the year. The tough part is I'd already been in the big leagues for 2 years at that point. You know, a lot of those kind of lines. 1971 is when he began. There is somebody, that is the second longest continuous tenure with one team to do radio, I'm assuming, because Vin Scully would have had the record for the Dodgers. He was, you know, from the start of the team all the way until a couple of years ago. So I'm assuming this is just radio. But evidently, the Kansas City Royals radio broadcaster, Denny Matthews, is the longest. He started in 1969.
That's awesome.
And he's been going for that long. So if you're just joining us, RIP Bob Uecker. He passed away this morning. I want to get to a couple of college football notes here to start the final hour of the show. Is anybody believing this? There is a report out there from folks at Texas on the Horns 247 site.
Chip Brown, Orange Blood.
So yesterday we talked about how Quinn Ewers had decided to enter the NFL draft. Now take that with a grain of salt because Carson Beck did it and then said, you know, just kidding, I'm going to go ahead and go play college again. And now he's at Miami for $4 million. So he's getting paid. These guys get a lot of money thrown their way. Chip Brown has a report that Quinn Ewers was offered $8 million. For 1 year of college football next year, and he turned it down.
No chance. I think what we have, maybe you haven't, maybe you have.
$8 million.
We're a handful of years into this NIL world, right? What I think my conclusion is there are so many, so much lying in this world of NIL money. Like, everybody reportedly is making $6 million. And then, like, you find out Cam Ward got paid $1.5 million, which is like great money.
When did that come out? I didn't see that report.
A few weeks ago. Okay. Yeah, I mean, like,
how much he made?
Well,
yeah.
Because Beck is going to make more.
We over exaggerate how much a lot of these guys make and how much a lot of these schools are spending.
We way over exaggerate. Right. We act like these guys are getting $7-8 million. I don't know if the Gabriel number is out there.
I imagine it's a couple million, probably.
Yeah, but if you told me they got Gabriel for two,
yeah,
he got to play for a dream school because of the Mariota, you know, hero stuff.
Good team, knew he was going to have a chance to compete, succeed.
Yeah, it's just the way we talk about this is if all these schools are giving these quarterbacks and these top players $8-9 million, you know, the Rashada lawsuit, and then you got the Nico deal at Tennessee.
Well, and those are a little bit different because those are at least in the theory. Those are for, like, I'm going to give you $8 million for your career.
Right.
Not for one season of football.
Also, we don't know the details of the deal. If Nico leaves after, you know, as soon as he can, what did he really make?
Yeah.
So I don't believe this at all. I don't know who benefits from it getting out because it doesn't seem like it would benefit Ewers in any way other than to maybe show NFL teams, look, this is how committed I am.
Yes.
And it doesn't benefit any one team because it's not tied to a team. So I just think all these people are liars.
If he turned down $8 million to play a year
not
of college
Chip Brown,
football.
By the way, just the people who are feeding this to report.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he made this up out of thin air. Somebody gave him this report. I don't know where it came from and why. If he turned down $8 million to play college football next year, he needs a CAT scan.
Yeah,
like you're not going to be a first-round pick, more than likely. If I'm imagining if it's $8 million, in this theory, it's a big program. It's not some random team. So it's a good team. That would be one of the dumbest decisions somebody could make is turning down $8 million for 1 year of college football and then still going and probably getting drafted in the same spot that you would have had you gone into the draft this year. I know there was a lot of random reporting and wondering on social media because every time there's a big figure thrown out there, it's always, well, this guy's got to go to Oregon. Oregon's going to go buy him. Oregon had no interest in Quinn Ewers if he had entered the transfer portal.
Are you reporting?
I am reporting that, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. They
breaking news.
Breaking news.
Fan bah, bah, bah. Insider.
Yeah.
Pre-game host.
Not happening,
legendary
man.
Alum.
For those who saw this $8 million, because I know that this is going to start. Every time one of these dumb numbers is thrown out there, this happened a couple of weeks ago where it was Quinn Ewers was offered $5 million. Somebody had an offer for Quinn for $5 million, and everybody just ran with it that it was Oregon. Where's he going to go next year? He's probably going to go to Oregon. It's like, what? So I reached out, and I was like, is there any? No, there's no interest.
Well, here's the other part of that, too. Quinn Ewers is a good example to use. We could also use Kyle McCord. We do kind of define these guys in our minds based on what we see. And it didn't end well for him. He struggled kind of at the back end. He struggled against Georgia. Wasn't amazing against Arizona State, though they won the game. And he certainly had his ups and downs in that Ohio State game. I'm also not going to act like if he didn't go to Alabama, I wouldn't look at Alabama as a viable threat.
I mean, he's not a bum. He's fine.
You don't get to the semifinals of a playoff. You don't get to an SEC title game. He might not have been the best one or most perfect, but we also kind of treat him as if he wasn't good at
just
all.
Just terrible all season, throwing countless interceptions. Yeah, that is spot on. We were a little unfair to him. And I think Beck got a little bit of that, too, this year with losing McConkey and Bowers and, like, who were their weapons and who's he working with.
He's going to get it next year. People aren't going to buy Miami because they're going to remember this Beck as if he can't be a better version or
totally fair,
I don't know what Miami's returning talent is, but having talent around him.
I never viewed him necessarily as the guy that if I'm a team that Quinn Ewers is going to put us over the top.
Well, but my point is...
He could be better than maybe what your current alternative is like, do I want to start a freshman that's never played before or an unproven guy, or do I want a guy who's, like, having experience? Like, that to me is a valid debate, and maybe you want to pay for that. I don't view him as, like, an $8 million, this is the missing ingredient to a title team.
Well, but I think in that sport, nobody is.
That's fair. Yeah.
Like Dylan was awesome for Oregon until he wasn't in Ohio State.
Yeah.
And CJ Stroud is maybe the most gifted quarterback in Ohio State history. Will Howard is going to win a national championship potentially. And I don't think you'd say Will Howard's better than CJ Stroud. You'd probably make an argument, well, it's the talent around. No doubt about it. I don't think anybody in that sport, the ones that are drafted one, the ones that are drafted later, I don't think anybody is. I think it's just, it's so different than the NFL that it's very dependent on your surroundings. Cam Ward didn't not make the playoff because of Cam Ward. Cam Ward didn't make the playoff because his defense sucked.
Yeah.
Like,
it wasn't his fault. He was outstanding
all
year.
Cam Ward should have been in a playoff this year. There's no arguing that. So I don't think anybody in that sport is truly apart from the others. We all have talked about Will Howard. He's been pretty awesome in these playoffs.
He's made some really good throws,
some big plays with his legs. But he's not the best that is in the sport, and he's not the best that's ever existed in that team.
So a report comes out, hey, $8 million, man. Quinn Ewers turning it down. He's going to go play in the NFL and be a third-round draft pick, because that totally makes sense. I got a question. Whether Smoker usually is fire, or is this negative recruiting? Let's get to that coming up next on The Fam. All right, welcome back in. We have a listener contribution to the show. We'll get to that in a matter of moments. Before we do, though, usually out there when there's smoke, there's fire. That's how the world works. We got a story like that in the sports community right now. And that is surrounding the head coach of the team in which you are wearing a t-shirt today.
Ah.
Bill Belichick.
I love good new team merch.
Good team merch is awesome.
Like these companies, these off the beaten path companies that make really quality stuff. And you're like, oh,
I'll take that.
I don't want to buy too much. You know what I mean? I don't want too much, but sometimes I can't help myself.
Well, Bill Belichick is the new head coach in North Carolina, or is he?
Do I take my shirt off? Wave around my head?
I think you should, like a helicopter.
Helicopter. Okay.
The original questioning of his deal was that there is a... There's verbiage in the contract that after June 1st, his buyout goes from $10 million to $1 million after June 1st, which everybody saw when the deal was announced and said, that's interesting. Do you not want to be there long term?
That's next to nothing is a buyout.
$1 million is nothing. For an NFL team in particular, that is literally nothing.
What's Dan Lanning's, just out of curiosity?
Oh, Dan Lanning's buyout?
It's got to be like 10, right?
Oh, he's got a massive buyout.
20? It's 15.
45 million.
Oh,
right now. As of December 1st, 2024, Dan Lanning, the head coach of Oregon, has a buyout of $45.37 million. It's one of the largest buyouts in the Big Ten.
So, not that Lanning hasn't deserved it in college, but Lanning, 45, Belichick, 1.
So, if you want to hire away Dan Lanning right now, you got to pay $45 million. You want to hire Bill Belichick on June 2nd? Hey, $1 million. That's all it's going to take in order to go get him. And the people in North Carolina, Bill Belichick, were like, this isn't a big deal. No, we're not going back to the NFL. No, I would have been interested in the Cowboys job, but no, I'm not interested anymore. Sure, I'll listen to Tom Brady, but no, I'm the head coach of North Carolina. Well, now more reporting came out that the people in North Carolina are pushing back against. There's a report that came out today.
Jonathan Jones of CBS Sports.
Jonathan Jones had it in saying that not only is the buyout weird in Belichick's deal at North Carolina, he hasn't signed the contract yet, which is not uncommon.
He had a press conference.
According to Jonathan Jones, he said it's not uncommon, but it does introduce a gray area as of the $10 million buyout, which is initially in the deal before January 1st, whether that would be applicable. Now, Michael Lombardi, who he has hired to be his general manager of roster acquisition.
He's done multiple interviews, and he has vowed, we are committed. This is where we want to be.
He saw this report and said, Bill is recruiting in D.C. today and Baltimore tomorrow. His focus is on North Carolina football, hiring staff members, and developing the team. The NFL isn't an option, so please stop making it one. Thank you.
Mike Lombardi's been on the show a couple times.
He's
kind of a friend of the show. This is going to age and be one of the all-time whoopsie daisies if he ends up going to the NFL, because Lombardi has said this like 8 different times in 8 different interviews.
Yes, he has.
Also, is it not odd to you that he's doing this recruiting and press conference with no signature?
It's a little weird.
I would feel weary of doing this if I was a North Carolina AD.
I would too.
And he's got a funny name too. What's that guy's name?
I don't know if I'm at. Now people are trying to say, is this just
Bubba Cunningham?
Bubba Cunningham is the North Carolina AD.
Yeah.
That's a great name. But people are trying to wonder and speculate, is this just negative recruiting from other schools that are floating this stuff out there?
Is it true? If it's true, then like
Lombardi didn't refute it and say, yes, he signed his contract. This is not true. He just said he's recruiting and he plans on being at North Carolina for the long haul.
A report came out yesterday that Ben Johnson and the Raiders might be like on a collision course. And also Tom Brady might be a one and done, that he reportedly might do the Super Bowl and then be done, to which I think to your point, you'd say, then why is he even doing the Super Bowl? Put Greg Olsen in the booth by himself. Right. If it's not Johnson, what if it does become Belichick to the Raiders? Brady hiring his old coach.
They seem to be a little chummy since
they've mended their, yeah, whatever their differences were, just working with somebody for that long. That's natural. Like, you're going to have some, I guess, animosity. It more seems to be anti-Kraft for both. I'm not eliminating the idea, but I think it would be ridiculous to completely shut it down and say it's not going to happen. Sign the contract. What are we waiting for?
Who's
here
coaching in the NFL first? Bill Belichick or Deion Sanders?
Ed Werder says that Deion wants the job if Jerry offers it to him.
Of course he does.
That's a bummer.
He doesn't want to recruit. He doesn't. I mean, he's in Boulder.
He's done better in recruiting. He has. He's got a five-star kid coming in. He's just a cool video. I thought this was cool. As dumb as college football is now,
yeah,
and as much as you can laugh and say, what were the majors? Communications. Mm-hmm. Football was the major.
Yeah.
He had a cool thing with, I think, one of their academic advisors where she announced that, like, they collectively had a 3.0 team GPA. That doesn't mean everything to everybody. I think other teams locally have had that, but I just want him in college.
I don't want
him to leave. I want him to stay at Colorado. Rick George has been awesome to him. It's been a good partnership so far. They've gone from a one-win team to...
He's done a great job.
A great story. I don't want to see him be the Cowboy coach.
It's because you like Deion and you hate the Cowboys and you don't want to be in a position where you got to hate Deion Sanders.
Well, I mean, we all have to weigh individual choices. Yeah. And I don't know what Deion's life is like, so I'm not going to pretend. But just the outside perspective... Meddling owner that can't get out of his own way, that has done nothing but botch hire or decision after decision or hire. Not botched in the guys haven't been good. He just isn't patient or he cans them for no reason. And then doesn't make good roster decisions. He's caring more about acting on television than doing the right thing. And Colorado's kind of given it all to Deion. They said, dude, we're desperate. We're in the dumps of despair.
You do whatever you want, man.
Here's it all. And they've given him everything he's asked for. And it's gone well. And I believe that Deion Sanders, while might not be an elite coach, how many coaches in that sport at that level could start at Jackson State and get to where he's gotten? Now, has his name helped it? Absolutely. But he got Hunter to commit. And he got Hunter to travel with him to Colorado.
Yes, he did.
And they went from one win. What did they finish with? Was it 9 wins this year?
I think they were 9-3 this year. They got killed in their bowl game, so I think they were 9-4, okay, if I'm
nine,
not mistaken.
9-4, 9-3 in the regular. Like, from 1-9 in 2 years?
They haven't done that since 2016, I believe, that random year they made it to the Pac-12 title game with Mike McIntyre.
Not a lot of coaches, Dirk, can tout an 8-plus win differential in 2 seasons taking over. So I also think he's good for the sport.
I do, too. He's great for college football. So. And he's going to be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys
in about
2 weeks.
It's not just the Cowboy stuff. It's just the perspective of it is just like, you got such a great thing versus, is that going to go well?
Probably not. It's the Cowboys, but it's Jerry Jones. That star is hard to turn down. So that's the latest reporting out of the college football world today. We'll keep our eye on Belichick. Now we got to get to this. So the national championship is on Monday, and we're very, hey, look, national title, last college game of the year. Hopefully it ends up being a good game. We thankfully have a lot of great contacts here at the Fan, and we had the ability to get the number of Lou Holtz. And we said, Lou, I read your autobiography when I was a kid. Big fan of yours. Listen to your podcast daily. I'm on team Lou Holtz.
I would tell him religiously.
Religiously. I religiously listen to the Lou Holtz podcast. How do you not? It's just great A content. And he said, I'm such a fan of your show.
Oh.
I'm willing to call in. And so he was a little too shy to go live on the air.
He was tired.
But he called in, Swag answered, and he talked to Lou Holtz, and they got a little... Lou Holtz, jumping into the show today on a Thursday.
Good morning to Dirt and Sprague. Now listen... If you need some guy to come talk about Notre Dame football on your radio program, it's me, Lou Holtz. I coached Notre Dame for such a long time. I know the stay in the program is about as good as anybody in this country. I'll just tell you something. So if you need somebody to come talk about it, just call Lou Holtz. I'll be there in a jiff.
That was P1 Shane.
You just spit in my eye.
He did, yeah. You gotta go wipe your eyes out for that one. P1 Shane sent that to us, man. Well done to P1 Shane. And I'm going to go ahead and make a request. Shane, I don't know if you're still listening or not right now. I hope you are. You say good morning to us every morning at 6, so I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I'm going to need a Lou Holtz reaction video on Tuesday.
Yeah, win or lose.
Win or lose.
Especially the win.
We're going to need a Lou Holtz reaction video to play on the show on Tuesday, breaking down whatever the hell happens on Monday.
That was a really good job. He got the saliva, you know, in there perfectly. Had the kind of like, you know, kind of jumbled up part. That was a great A impersonation. So thank you to listener Shane for that.
That's so good.
I got to admit something to you guys. I'm a little bit of a sucker for this. My older brother, he listens and he sends me these clips on Instagram, and he sent me one yesterday, and I don't know if you've experienced this the same way I have, Dirt, but he sent me a clip of the Jeremiah Love run at the goal line.
The 98 yarder?
No.
Oh, the stretch.
And so you got to remember, Jeremiah Love was playing with an injury. Was a knee injury, right?
Yeah, he had an outside, good-sized knee brace on that knee.
And the internet's great because they can take a clip and they can slow it down. And what they did was they play the Jeremiah Love run, and you're just watching this kid take hit after hit, three Penn State players, and you're watching him stretch, and playing over it is like gospel church, and it just got
touchdown Jesus music.
It gives me goosebumps to watch that. I love when they put that kind of soundtrack over slow motion sports.
We had Riley Leonard say the reason these two teams are playing in the national championship is because they're the two most faithful in the country.
Ohio State?
Have you not followed that storyline this year? Ohio State fan has actually been a little upset about maybe they're too into faith and not as focused on football as they need to be. When they lost to Michigan, that was a talking
point. There seems to be
from Buckeye fans. Why'd you stop getting baptized and beat the Wolverines? There's a lot of that.
Seems to be two takes on sports right now. There's either in the college football world specifically. Boy, isn't it great how much these kids are shouting Jesus out, spreading the gospel.
It's Trump time.
And then there's the other side. That's getting mad the minute they lose and blaming religion.
I thought Jesus was on our side, man. What the hell? All that praying did nothing for me?
I can't believe this really happened today.
It's Trump time.
It's been an interesting Thursday.
Donald on the show.
We haven't talked about something that happened that I think deserves to be talked about on the show, so I would like to bring that up in the following segment, which we will have after this very short commercial break.
Yes.
And a couple of notes of the divisional round matchups, which we will obviously dive into tomorrow. All of that is still to come in the next 30 minutes. Ooh, and a little Gonzaga, Oregon State.
That college wasn't a tease.
Hoops talk.
That wasn't a tease.
That was a tease. That's my tease.
We're 10-1 at home.
And we're going to get into the Pilots and Pacific tonight.
No, we're not.
Big showdown at Child Center. Big WCC contest tonight at the Child Center. WCC Hoops
purple
as well.
Out.
We got 30 minutes to go.
It is a purple out.
It's a purple out. Purple people leaders.
Plenty of good seats available. Let's go.
There's a purple out in somebody else's house, too.
It's Trump time.
Okay, quickly, and then we'll get to the big going-ons tonight. I got to be honest with you. I was doing my last tease, and then it dawned on me that that's right. Oregon State and Gonzaga play tonight, so we should probably, you know, commit a little bit of time to that.
Well, I mean, I co-host this thing 90 minutes, and I didn't bring it up, so it's also on me.
You know, look, it's a big game, and I want to talk about it. It deserves its attention. Can we just briefly, for a moment, talk about the physics of how Ja Morant dunked on Victor Wembanyama last night?
Made no sense, and it's a shame it didn't count.
How did that not? What? How? What? Who?
Well, Victor did.
It's a bit of a throw-in, so you have to over a 7'7" guy.
But it was a Blake Griffin throw.
It was a Blake.
I mean, like he could have dunked it, dude, but he's so high, he just said, "Screw you, I'm throwing it."
I want to go through life with the confidence that Ja Morant had the moment he took off from the floor and saw Victor Wembanyama standing in front of him and said, "You know what? I could try and up and under this thing. I could try and go. Nope. You know what? I'm going up and over." And he did.
Well, maybe you start by punching a 17-year-old.
Is that how you do it? See what you did there. Well played.
It's very awkward. I wish he didn't have that problem off the court, man.
Because these kind of highlights are amazing.
He would, honestly.
They're having a great year this year, too.
Kind of be the face of the league, and he was set to be that until the gun off court punching stuff happened, right?
It's not ideal when you punch minors.
And you're brandishing guns on the internet when you're told not to do it. I mean, look, it's not great.
Yeah.
They're having a great year. He's having a good year when he plays. Victor didn't jump all the way, but. And it didn't count, which is the damn shame. But
I obviously didn't see it live.
He got fouled on the perimeter, And so, like, in the real time when you watch it, whistle blows, but he still takes two dribbles in, gotcha. And Victor sort of jumps, and he just...
Okay.
And the whole crowd knew the whistle blew, and they were still like, oh!
I couldn't believe it. I saw that. I watched that thing 40 times this morning.
It was unreal.
Could not believe it. You guys got a big one tonight down in Corvallis.
Got a massive one.
This is big. I mean, this is a big...
It's a different purple out.
Let me ask this question that you guys would be able to answer better than me, probably.
Yeah.
If they are, they are a 9.5-point underdog tonight.
Oh, give me the points all
nine,
day.
Oregon State is a 9.5-point dog with Gonzaga
this
in town.
Team? Come on.
This would be the biggest win for Wayne Tinkle since...
Oregon.
Did they beat Oregon?
In 2020, let's see, hold on. No, I have it. Hold on. Give me a second. Okay. I have it. I didn't write it on my
screen. So I know they lost earlier this year to Oregon. And I mean, they have beaten Oregon. I'm not saying he hasn't beaten Oregon.
Their last home sellout. So okay, here it is. The last home sellout they had was in 2020 against the Ducks, and they won.
Okay. So that
and
was.
Oregon was ranked 14th. They were unranked.
When was that Arizona game that you and Crawford rushed the court? Was that before that?
That was the year they. Year prior to the Elite Eight.
Wow. That was a long time ago.
Dude. Yeah. That was. That was like 2018, 2017.
So, to prove the point,
yeah,
it's been a while since he's had a big marquee win.
Well, he's had some good... They beat Arizona a couple years ago with a Stevie Thompson walk-off. Remember that one, the buzzer beater?
I do.
They've had some big wins.
So, this would be the biggest win in a while for the old Tinkle Man.
And Bulldogs are 1-8 all-time at Gill. They haven't played in 34 years.
Doesn't matter.
They played them largely when Gonzaga wasn't a really good program, like, at all.
Doesn't matter. And Oregon State used to be elite.
But we own you.
You own this rivalry.
You hear me, Kevin Cash? We own your asses. Bring it to Gill. Give me the 9 points. I can't wait to watch Mark Few.
Oh, I wish I would have played my kid today.
Get his ass dunked on is what would happen.
It does feel like a good time to make fun of my buddy Cash, who is a Gonzaga alum. But he grew up an Oregon fan, and he doesn't root for Oregon basketball. And it's he's like a diehard Oregon football fan who then mocks Oregon basketball. And it's a very, very strange thing to me.
Yeah, those are called conflicted sports fan. They sit in a closet by themselves often and go, what am I?
I don't know.
I don't know what I love and what I care about.
I always joke, like, what if Oregon basketball wins a national title before Gonzaga? Are you not going to root for that at all? Because you're a diehard Oregon football fan. It's very confusing to me. None of it makes any sense.
I had a cousin that when his parents would argue, he used to hide in the closet and just like rub shoes. Because that was like his nervous way of dealing with his anxiety.
Is he woogie?
It's a good deep pull by you right there.
It's all like a picture.
I was just watching.
He's got a basket full of shoes he's coming out with?
No, his shoes were in his closet. He used to go in there when his parents were arguing.
Yeah.
It was me. It wasn't my cousin. It was actually me. I didn't know if domestic violence was going to happen. I was 7 years old. I used to just hide in the closet.
Just get out of the way, man.
Rub shoes, man.
Rubbing shoes is a good thing.
Rub shoes.
That's story of the day. So,
but I think that's what your friend does.
It was for the Beavs tonight. So, about that Beaver game.
It's Trump time.
Go get that win tonight, huh?
This would be a massive win.
Are we staying up till the end of it? Are we going to make it all the way?
Oh, dude.
8 o'clock tip tonight. What channel is it on?
CBS Sports Network.
CBS. Is that on YouTube TV?
It's on YouTube TV.
Okay, so it'll be on YouTube TV. Good.
It's very unfortunate. It's going to be 3 straight days of going to bed at 10:30.
That's not good for you, Bob. I know. But sometimes you don't have any.
I've had basketball practices Tuesday, Wednesdays that go really late.
You got to get that 2-3 zone in.
You got well. Yeah.
Set your streets.
They need the officials to let them play. That would be
that's the key.
Very much in Oregon State's
up
favor.
The refs already. Don't start.
Yeah, give me the keys of the game here, Swag. I'm not going to sit here and pretend. I have not seen a single Gonzaga basketball game all year, and I've
dominate
watched
the paint.
Maybe Parsa, a game and a half of
can
Oregon
Parsa
State.
Parsifala guard Graham Ek one on one.
That is a
if
big
he can
part of
contain
key.
Him. Yeah, down low, they don't have to double team, and they can stay closer to the shooters. Nolan Hickman's been going off lately for Gonzaga, so they can't leave him. And then if they can counter Lele Vicious, if he can get going from three, that would be helpful. And then offensively, Michael Ratai's got to be able to, if they decide to double team him, he's got to be able to give the ball up. He can't just try to put it on the deck and go through them by himself. He's got to welcome the double team. They got to move it quickly and find shooters and drivers.
You also, an important note here. So they're 10-1 at home this year, yep. Oregon State is.
They have one of the best defenses in the country.
And Gonzaga's red hot.
And Gonzaga's one of the best offenses in the country.
So it's a something's got to give game. Is that what you're telling me?
It's a very big something's got to give game. Yeah.
Okay. I can't wait. 8 o'clock tonight.
They can't have, Oregon State can't turn it over on the perimeter because Nembhard will just streak up the floor and get They got to make Gonzaga play in the half court.
They got another Nembhard, or is this the same Nembhard?
Younger brother.
We have a new Nembhard at Gonzaga.
Yeah, he was there last year, too.
Was he? I mean,
he transferred from Creighton.
Also an Oregonian coming into town today, trying to look like, hey, I didn't need to go here. I went to Gonzaga.
Yeah. And we're going to teach you a lesson the hard way,
Ben Gilderay. Ben Gregg's coming off the bench now.
Yeah, well.
Because they got Michael Ajayi to transfer from Pepperdine.
There you go.
You guys didn't have any nervous things you did as little children that you want to admit?
I'm
very vulnerable right now.
No, I did not. You didn't have to admit it was you,
I just didn't hide it anymore.
I had to picture Woogie there.
I was throwing a cousin under the bus when I didn't need to.
It was kind of unnecessary. Be true to you, man.
Rubbing my little light up sneakers all alone in my closet.
This is why it's so impressive you've made it so far in life. That's not easy to overcome.
I hope the noise stops.
Childhood trauma is not an easy thing for everybody.
Does my mom have a black eye right now?
Is everything okay down there? Rubbing the laces together. Well, I don't really know what that was, but I'm excited for college basketball tonight. Gonzaga and Oregon State, 8 o'clock, CBS Sports Network.
I think what I've learned about myself doing this job, I'm not a big, like, all-in on preview guy. I love to talk about the games. I'm excited for this matchup for sure. There are things about matchups in all sports that get me pretty jacked for them. I love to react. I love to see the actual result and how it happened and why it happened. And so, like, I'm looking forward to it. There's some really cool stuff going in, as Swag highlighted, with some of these matchups, stylistically, the way the two teams are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also curious about the environment. This is a sellout.
It's going to be a sellout.
How much of that is going to be a lot of barking and Bulldog fans? Because, like, no offense.
No, I understand.
Even though in Portland it's easier to go, I would much rather watch them play Oregon
State. The atmosphere would be better.
I would hope the students there on campus bought up extra tickets. Like, if they can go over there on a Thursday night late, what else are you doing at this point? Go make that a hostile environment.
It'll be loud.
Students will be there for sure.
Yeah.
It's also still tripped me out. They reversed it. So for my entire life, they were on the camera side with the bench.
Yeah.
And now they're on what used to be the broadcaster side. So the bench is at the bottom where the benches used to be at the top of the screen.
It
still
throws
me off.
Throws you off when you
see
it.
It's been that way a couple years, but it still throws me off.
Because they're good. What's their home record this year?
10-1.
Who's the team that beat them at home?
Wasn't us.
Great one. Great question.
Can't think of that one off the top of my head.
Although the Pilots did start that game.
Just delay. 15-16.
Who got them at home? I can't remember.
Who
was it? Could have been anybody. Could have been anybody.
Yeah. Are you going there?
We're still searching. There's only 11 games to look at. It shouldn't take you that long to look that one up. Dominant at home.
Does Sprague or not know? I was playing along with you, Dirt.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I can't find it.
You just can't find the answer to that one. Who could it have been? Must have been a really good basketball.
It was a non-conference game. You don't count the non-conference
game. If you could beat the Beavers at Gill, you must be a basketball
school. It was a ranked team, for sure.
It was a ranked team, probably, that came to town. They probably took them down.
No, I just went through the whole schedule.
They probably trailed the entire game, basically, and then got hot at the end like they always do.
Exactly.
Dynamic guard play and veteran leadership at the center position and a great head coach.
It says we played Fullerton, and then there's just a blank space, and then we played at North Texas, and we lost.
Well, we'll try and find the answer to that question during the commercial break.
I came down to a buzzer beater in North Texas.
Wrap it up.
About it.
Coming up next on The Fam. Well, we've discovered that the Seattle Mariners ran out of budget to give jerseys to players that they've signed. They signed a guy, Yorger Batista. We'll run with it. He's a Venezuelan outfielder.
Top player in Venezuela.
And he was at a signing yesterday. They gave him a jersey to hold up, and it's not a jersey. It's a T-shirt, and it's a child's medium, and it says Batista on the back. Things are going great for the Mariners right now. This is the year, though. This is the year they're going to do it.
They got Donnie Batts.
This is it. Team batting average will be 214. This is the year we figure it out.
You wait till they're 9-2, and we hear Mariner fans chat about how great the Mariners are this year.
Such an insufferable fan base. Just give up. There is no hope. You have no hope. Give up any hope. There's no reason to have any hope. let's get to a couple of poll questions. Oregon State, Gonzaga tonight. Very excited for that one. A lot of chatter coming in. People are fired up. We got a lot of Zags fans that listen to the show.
Your buddy wants me to make a $100 bet on this game.
$100 bet?
Flush with all this infinite amount of money.
We work in radio, man. That's why they pay us the big bucks. You get 9.5.
Doesn't he work in oil and gas?
Yeah, he's selling that oil, man. He's the landman guy.
He's the guy
out there with his cowboy hat on. These turbines ain't doing nothing.
I've also been around him enough to say confidently, he's one of those, like, he just goes in pretty hard on stuff, even when he maybe not the most confident yes. that it's going to go his way.
We asked yesterday, I got one listener thing I want to read too. Do you watch TikTok on Instagram or TikTok on TikTok? 68% of you said Instagram.
Same.
Trent Bray named himself the new defensive coordinator. 51% of you hate it. 49% of you love it. Evenly split. If there was a Papa Shot NBA Jam spin for a gift card and coffee shop at the DMV, would you be happy to go? 52% of you say yes, I would be happy to go. And I wanted to read this. This came from one of our P1s. Said, "Morning, fellas. Love the show. Regarding the haircut, I went for one a few weeks ahead of my son's wedding." This came from Dwayne yesterday, the theme connecting days.
Oh, yes. Dwayne's text really resonated with some
this
people.
Guy, I went to his son's wedding, so you got to look good for that. Somehow shorten it up was taken as shave it off. And I look in the mirror halfway with all of my hair gone. What the hell? I went with it. Hashtag Sprague Strong.
Yeah.
He said, "R.I.P. Bob, my haircut was just a bit outside."
I got mine cleaned up a little bit. I got more of a fade yesterday.
He cleaned it up.
I like it.
Well, there you go. Good little show. If you missed it, go check the podcast, 1080thefan.com. Sal Capaccio was great. Preview in Buffalo and Baltimore. We have holstered all of the football talk for tomorrow. I didn't get to my peekaboo notes. We're going to peekaboo tomorrow, and we're going to preview and the national title because we don't have a show on Monday.
That's right.
Tomorrow is going to be a true, true football Friday with a little upset at Gill Coliseum mixed in. Huh? You like that? That'll do it for us. Thanks for being a part of our Thursday. Go catch the podcast. Like the video on YouTube. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so yet. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Colin is next for listening to 1080 The Fan.